Good evening and welcome to the 7 p.m. news. I'm Elizabeth Mbombone Agbo. In our headlines, Prime Minister Head of Government gives firm instructions for flood victims in the far north region to receive first aid and displaced school children continue classes unperturbed. The 45th edition of the World Tourism Day kicks off on the theme Tourism and Peace. Get a pulse of the tourism sector in our in-depth segment of the news. And on to sports, the 24th edition of the Shantabia Cycling Tour will be given optimal media coverage following the signing of a two-year partnership agreement in Yaoundé today. Those were our major stories. Stay tuned for a full development in a moment. Prime Minister, Head of Government, has instructed that all necessary measures be put in place to ensure that flood victims in the far north region receive first aid and displaced school children continue classes uninterrupted. Chief Dr. Joseph Diongute was speaking today in Yaoundé as he chaired a meeting to evaluate the situation of the floods in the far north and strategize on contingency measures. Details with our Star Building correspondent, Christian Che Atam.
Mayo Denai and Lugun and Sheru divisions have been suffering from the effects of floods caused by excessive rainfall, and weather forecasts preview even more rains. It is crucial for the government to coordinate relief efforts perfectly and prevent the future destruction of persons and property through natural disasters. The meeting, chaired by the Prime Minister, brought together governors and regional council officials from the north and far north regions, but also ministers in charge of education, defense, housing, urban development, agriculture, and public health, amongst others. The balance sheet of the flood presented by the far north governor, Mijiyawa Bakari Sufa, indicates, amongst other things, well over 300,000 persons affected, with 17 deaths, thousands of herds destroyed, and some 1,820 hectares of farmlands containing food crops destroyed as well, while schools in Mayo Denai and Lugun and Sheru Division have also been affected. During the brainstorming session, which lasted close to 3 hours, Prime Minister Joseph Diongute and the members of government examined the measures taken so far to strengthen the points of weakness identified along the dike of the Maga Lake and along the River Logone, which permit water to spill over. Actions undertaken and those envisaged to repair boreholes, bridges and schools, as well as those to secure public infrastructure and lodging facilities, also came under examination. The Prime Minister, Joseph Diongute, said short-term and long-term measures must be engaged immediately to keep the population safe. Mijiyawa Bakari, Governor, Far North Region.
The orientation has been given first to build that bridge we have broken to enable population to go from one point to another. And several lorries are on the road directed by the Minat to go and enable people to have commodities. That's food item, medical, and measures have been taken years ago. First to build that digger route from Gobo to Kusiri. It is very heavy job that will involve billions of francs CFA, but the government is on the foot to continue.
The Prime Minister was clear. He said even as long-term measures are being organized, all must be put in place to ensure that the current school year is not disrupted and that the affected population are provided with safe conditions. Christian Chiatam, CRTV, The Star Building.
Some members of the elite of the Far North region, led by the Minister Delegate to the Minister of Finance, Yaoba Abdullahi, have discussed with the Speaker of the National Assembly on how to relieve the suffering of flood victims in the Far North region. This was during an audience the Right Honorable Kavaege Jibril granted them earlier today at his cabinet. Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Doris Batotato Ikwe was there and now reports.
Stretching out a fraternal hand of solidarity towards the flood victims of the Mayo Denai and other parts of the far north was the main thrust of the discussions between the Right Honorable Jibril and his guests, expressing gratitude to the President of the Republic for the relief effort already dispatched. Members of the elite of the far north who came visiting agreed it was imperative for them to mobilize funds at their level in order to buttress the gesture. On the spot, the House Speaker donated his contribution. It was decided that a delegation will make a trip to the affected areas next week to hand over all that would have been put together towards that cause. It was also an occasion for development impediments in the far north region to be addressed. Ways of preventing floods and measures to alleviate suffering among the local population, as well as strategies of proper management of development endeavors, were equally examined during the audience that lasted for an hour thereabouts.
The recently appointed regional representative of the International Forum for Agricultural Development, IFAD, for West and Central Africa is in Cameroon. Bernard Nyerhen, who is on a 48 contact visit, held discussions this afternoon with Prime Minister Joseph Diongota in Yaoundé. The cooperation between Cameroon and IFAD, as well as the Prime Minister's preference in the agriculture sector, were amongst the topics the two men exchanged on. Here is the visiting IFAD director for Western Central Africa, Bernard Nyerhen, speaking to our reporter at the Star Building after the audience.
We are able to review our cooperation with Cameroon. We had a long-standing cooperation of about four decades, and it was also the opportunity for me to hear from His Excellency again what are his priorities. I was IFAD representative in this country when he was appointed Prime Minister, and I knew his priority, and today I had the opportunity to hear that he's again putting emphasis on rice, emphasis on the youth, emphasis on fish. These are really, waiting on the input, and we like to address them. We also receive good orientation, good guidance from His Excellency regarding the effect of climate change. He mentioned the flooding we are seeing right now in the far north and how we can really work jointly with government to start addressing this effect. Why not better managing the water to use them later on during the dry season for irrigation? So overall, a very good and fruitful discussion with His Excellencies.
In the meantime, the Minister of Territorial Administration, Paul Latanganji, has arrived the far north region for a working visit. The minister was received at the Marwa Salak Airport by authorities of the region led by the governor, Mijiyawa Bakari. He is expected to chair an evaluation meeting of the flood incidents in the region this evening. Minister Paul Latanganji will, during his stay in the far north region, supervise the distribution of the relief assistance to the flood victims offered by the head of state. In more news, the presidential plan for the reconstruction and development has successfully completed 243 projects in the southwest region since its inception in 2020. This was announced during the second session of the Southwest Regional Follow-up in Boya, which aimed to engage local and regional stakeholders in project implementation. Governor Bernard Okalia-Bilai chaired the meeting, joined by Minister Paul Tasson, president of the Presidential Plan for Reconstruction and Development Steering Committee for the Northwest and Southwest Regions. Details with Annabel Ndike Eno Anyang.
For the past 4 years, the Presidential Plan for Reconstruction and Development, PPRD, have been implementing projects in the Southwest region aimed at improving the living conditions of the population.
Kenason Nikasius, Mayor of Minji Council. The PPRD has helped the municipality by rehabilitating some three integrated health centers that are fully under reconstruction.
According to Minister Paul Tasson, President of the PPRD Steering Committee for the Northwest and Southwest regions, the institute has successfully completed 243 projects in the Southwest, aligning with the objective of the national dialogue.
We have to go at faster lane in reconstruction and development proper. And this is Limbe Deep Seaport, Limbe Douala Railway Line, Bikoko Limbe Edinao Road Reconstruction, major structural projects in the Northwest and Southwest.
Governor Bernard Okalia-Bilai, chairperson of the Southwest Follow-Up Committee of the PPRD, expressed gratitude to the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, the government's main partner in implementing projects. He also encouraged local and regional stakeholders to collaborate to ensure the successful realization of all projects. Annabel Ndike Eno Anyang, CRTV, Boya.
on to our in-depth segment of the news, which focuses on the World Tourism Day. Promoters of leisure sports and tourist sites in Cameroon have been encouraged to collaborate with administrative and security officials in the country in order to guarantee a peaceful environment that attracts tourists. The call was made in Yaoundé today at the launch of the 45th World Tourism Day in the Fundi Division under the theme Globe Tourism and Peace. George Nguyen has the details.
Tourism is a powerful tool for showcasing the image of Cameroon as a choice destination and can contribute towards fostering international understanding, cultural exchange, and global peace. It is within this context that actors from the tourism sector are currently reflecting on how they can assist the government in making tourism safer and more enjoyable.
My name is Bogan Sidama. When we talk about tourism, we talk about peace. Because nobody can take the risk of going anywhere in the world that there's no peace. The theme of this year is very important for us to focus on it and see how we can, at our own small level, encourage peace.
This year, emphasis is also on how sustainable tourism can transform communities, foster inclusion, and strengthen local economies.
The more we receive visitors, the more they boost the economy. Because when they come in, they buy, we sell our culture, we sell our products.
Through the promotion and preservation of cultural and natural heritage, tourism can help reduce tensions and nurture peaceful coexistence.
We foster peace through tourism by our language, because the language that we use can provoke instability. So we should be very careful in our language when we are receiving tourists or when we are speaking to each other. The language is so important.
The World Tourism Day, commemorated every September the 27th, is intended to raise awareness of the importance of tourism in social, cultural, political, and economic value.
Despite the close to 80 tourist destinations identified in the Adamawa region, the area is today faced with a drop in the number of tourists who come to enjoy some of these attractive places. This has partly been blamed on the issue of kidnapping for ransom, which has affected some localities hosting tourist sites like the Bamlero Rock in the Faro and Dio Division. Elvis Wanji Bamia reports.
The Adamawa region, which is positioned halfway between the Savannah North and Forest South, frequently benefits from large numbers of tourists that are drawn to some of its delightful locations. However, with the resurgence of the issue of kidnapping for ransom, the region has witnessed a drastic drop in the number of tourists. The cities are currently populated because many flee the villages due to insecurity, and this is also impacting the tourism sector. Local businesses, which heavily rely on tourism, are feeling the impact. Hotels, restaurants, and tour operators have reported cancellations and reduced tourists, which threatens the livelihoods of many families. Faced with this situation, authorities like the Adamawa Delegate of Tourism and Leisure, Umaru Sanda, is drafting strategies to stay afloat. The sector is affected. We are coordinating efforts and assessing the impact in order to relaunch activities where peace has returned. These measures seek to promote the region's rich culture and beauty while reminding everyone that safety is a shared responsibility. Elis Wajibani, CRTV News, Ngaoundiri.
In the Northwest region, the people regret that the raging social unrest has limited the scope of exploration as access to historical and geographical tourist sites is almost impossible. They now hold memories of tourist avenues, hoping that the crisis ends so that they can enjoy what their ancestors and nature is offering them. Veronica Aji tells us more.
In the northwest region of Cameroon, one's attention is driven towards the topography and relief. Driving further, the zeal to visit palaces, museums, mountains, waterfalls is very much alive.
While I was in the northwest region, I visited one touristic site in Bafut called Saduhi Ranch. It was a cozy, quiet, and beautiful resort. Buildings, modern, had a pool. The hotel was like Their food was top-notch.
But the situation on the ground, the people say, has made it difficult to access these coveted areas, causing a drop in business for impromptu tourist guides.
I used to take white people to Sabga, to Pressport. I take them to Mbatu Dam, where they will go and enjoy the environment and enjoy the place. But now things have become sour, and a lot of those whites, a lot of people from out of Cameroon or some from different regions, they are no longer coming.
The Likom Palace, home of the famous Afuakom statue, the Bafut Palace, a world heritage, Mount Oku, Lake Awing, and more are almost being forgotten as the social unrest rages on. Nonetheless, the memories are still very much alive with aspirations to go back once peace returns. Veronica Aji, CRTV News, Bamenda.
Our guest in today's edition of the in-depth segment of the news is a senior hotel manager and tourism promoter by name Bunji Dixon, who says despite a few security challenges, the tourism sector in Cameroon continues to thrive. In a chat with George Muam, he started by highlighting the relevance of observing the World Tourism Day. Let's take a listen.
We want to highlight tourism on a global scale and to let people know that tourism is not just about revenue, but it is about fostering a connection, bringing people together and making people enjoy tourism. You must have realized that sometimes people come from out of Cameroon and they do know more about our national museum than us here.
Is Cameroon still a choice destination for tourists who are visiting Africa?
Yes, Cameroon has a very good touristic site. We have our national museum and we have certain parks with lions that are not found in any part of Africa. And given the peaceful nature and our cultural background that is very unique in Africa, Cameroon is a very good place for tourists.
Let's come back to this year's theme, which is hinged on tourism and peace. So how determinant is peace in the promotion of tourism?
The truth is that insecurity has significantly impacted tourism in Cameroon, particularly in the regions like the Far North, which were once popular tourist destinations. The repeated insecurity by the Boko Haram group since 2013 have led to the decline in tourist arrival and poor performance in the tourism sector. The fear of tourist attack and kidnap has deterred many potential tourists from visiting Cameroon. But the government has put in place enough security so that our tourists be secured. And we've been able, the tourism department have been able to work with the security of this country to make sure that this shouldn't happen again as it was before. The government has put enough measures in place to make sure that tourists are not affected.
So what are those things that could be done to give a boost to this sector in order that it gives more income to the country than it's doing now?
I think the government should give subsidies to the tourism industry and there should be a thorough follow-up to make sure that touristic sites are being handled by the tourism department, not picking amateurs to maybe handle this touristic site as it's the case in some few areas. But I do appreciate the Ministry of Tourism. We will be having seminars to see how we can do away with insecurity in the tourism department.
Mr. Bunji Dixon, thank you for talking to the CRTV.
You are welcome.
Away from the in-depth section of the news, vendors at the Yaoundé Central Market have been ordered to encounter some open weed or garbage around their business places. The Central Region praised the traders today during the second day of a repressive campaign geared at getting rid of abandoned garbage.
First, to ensure cleanliness in the city of Yaoundé have intensified in the past 1 week with Governor Nasseri Paul-Bear at the head of an inspection caravan team to the various neighborhoods. At the Yaoundé Central Market, the governor was presented with measures put in place by council authorities to get rid of garbage. Jean-Marie Abuna is the mayor for Yaoundé 1.
The problem of hygiene and sanitation has become recurring in Yaoundé. At my level, I have put in place certain measures like sensitizing the population on the need to stay in a clean environment.
Governor Nasseri Paul-Bear was visibly satisfied with what he saw on the field.
We are satisfied with the efforts that are being made by Izakam and the local authorities, and we will want it to continue in that light.
This campaign is intended to get rid of garbage in the capital city and also ensure end of year festivities void of litter in Yaoundé. Lekiate Getroda Songazi, CRTV News, Center.
You are listening to the 7 p.m. news, and the time by our studio clock is 20 minutes after 7 p.m. We now move over to the West Region, where public accountants in the West Region have been educated on the reforms that are currently being carried out in the public finance sector in Cameroon. They were briefed on various aspects of the ongoing moves to amend public finance in the country during a coordination meeting in Bafoussam, organized by the Directorate General of the Treasury Financial and Monetary Corporation. Eric Lamia-Wofo reports.
For the first time in about 10 years, public accountants in the West Region are meeting to discuss ways of better serving the citizens. The Paymaster General of the West, Nupuden Fernand, talks of moves to modernize the sector.
For some time, public accountants of this region haven't met, and this is the occasion for them to meet and take stock of all the actions that have already been executed and make projections about the actions that are to be carried out in the future.
The officials are not only mastering the reforms in the public finance sector, they are also reflecting on the oppression to update users. An official of the Directorate General in charge of the Treasury, Dr. Samapo Samji, has been emphasizing the point.
We have the accounting reform, and the final goal of this reform is to satisfy our customers. I want to say our users who are customers. Now we are treating them as kings.
The discussions held under the chairpersonship of Governor Awa Funke Augustine, who hammered home the point that public finance operations should be effectively done by those in charge of the satisfaction of the citizens. Eric Lamia-Wofo, CRTV News, Bafoussam.
In the meantime, some military logistic professionals from 13 African nations and the United States have begun sharing knowledge on ways to upgrade their logistic networks so as to subsequently strengthen security and multilateral cooperation. This is at a two-day West Africa Logistic Conference, which has gone underway in Douala. It is jointly presided over by the representative of the Chief of Staff of the Cameroon Defense Forces, Brigadier General Benoit Eba-Eba, and the U.S. Ambassador to Cameroon, His Excellency Christopher John Lamora. Cynthia Etim has the details.
The role of logistics is indispensable as it enables the rapid delivery of humanitarian aid to conflict-affected countries and victims. To continue strengthening a common force in this light, about 60 logistics professionals from some 13 African countries and the United States have converged on Douala, meeting security challenges by strengthening operational capabilities among countries is key, especially as Cameroon hosts the Africa Logistics Base. Brigadier General Benoit Eba-Eba, commander of the 2nd Joint Military Region, is representing the Chief of Staff of the Cameroon Defense Forces.
The cooperation between our two armies is indeed rich and fruitful, as demonstrated among other things through numerous training offers, intelligence support, and donations of equipment.
Participants are thus expected to brainstorm on tackling common challenges faced by the military in logistics. His Excellency Christopher John Lamora is U.S. Ambassador to Cameroon.
This event presents a real opportunity to address a challenge that is faced by every military in the world. Logistics.
The conference is also intended to increase multilateral logistics engagements among countries. Cynthia Etim, CRTV News, Douala.
On to sports. Preparations have begun ahead of the 24th edition of the Chantaubia International Cycling Tour. The Director General of the CRTV, Sharon Dongo, and the President of the Cameroon Cycling Federation, Honoré Yossi, have agreed to give the event optimal media coverage with the signing of a two-year partnership agreement. The signing ceremony took place at the International Broadcasting Center at the National Station of the CRTV today. Details with Harrison Ashutiko.
The agreement is to ensure that the Chantaubia International Cycling Tour and the Angola Tour get optimal media visibility, especially on the digital platforms of the CRTV. Before the signing, the Director General of CRTV, Sean Dongo, reiterated the state broadcaster's readiness and determination to accompany the President of the Republic in his vision to valorize all sports disciplines in the country. For his part, the president of the Cameroon Cycling Federation, Honoré Yossi, expressed gratitude to the CRTV for the unwavering support to the federation over the years, insisting that a partnership agreement will open the upcoming events to a wider coverage and attract potential investors. Dr. Jaika Vedbin is the second vice president of the Cameroon Cycling Federation.
This will give more visibility to the Cameroon Cycling Federation. We know that there are people that at times they don't watch TV, but we know that the digital part of it be very much appreciated. We are also happy because for some time CLTV have been taking the green jersey.
The Chantabia International Cycling Tour will run from the 30th of September to the 5th of October 2024.
And that's the package put together for the 7 p.m. news today, in which you heard that Prime Minister, Head of Government, gives firm instructions for flood victims in the far north region to receive first aid and displays school children continue classes unperturbed. The 45th edition of the World Tourism Day kicks off on the theme Tourism and Peace. You got the pulse of the tourism sector in this edition of the newscast. In the meantime, the 24th edition of the Chantabia Cycling Tour will be given active media coverage following the signing of the two-year partnership agreement in Yaoundé today. The 7 p.m. news was presented by Elizabeth.